Let us all say amen.
Amen.
It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray that all is well with you, and just want to encourage you as this new year dawns upon us that you take time and reflect upon what you've done for the Lord this year. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and round about verse number 5, Paul says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. I want to encourage us and remind us that as this year draws to a close, that we don't take for granted that you've made it.
Right.
Amen. We've lost a lot of believers along the way. I've lost a friend of ours this past week, and got a couple funerals coming up, and I'm just reminded that life is very, very short.
Amen.
And one day we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to give an account of everything that we've done in the body. And so Paul would write these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And round about verse number 1, I don't know about you, I stop and I've been looking at where I'm at, direction I would like to go, and what I want to do for the Lord. Yes, I got some plans in there where I want to go with my family, but
Amen.
That's really secondary, because God, to me, is first and foremost. But if I don't make 2018, I want you to remember one thing, that he's alive and he's well. And so I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to give you some words to encourage you as we get ready to look at 2018. Paul says in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own ears shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Wow.
Verse number 6, Paul here reminds the believer that life is short. And you don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but Paul here has a mindset that no matter what transpires, he knows where he's going to be in reference to his relationship to the God.
Amen.
And so in verse number 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand.
Amen.
I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. So Paul writes these words to remind young Timothy, stay on track.
Amen.
Don't let no one sidetrack you. I know the world is getting ready to celebrate a new year, and I hope and pray that many will make it, but I know some will not make it.
Amen.
There's no guarantee that you sitting here will make it. Neither will I. But I just want to leave you with some words to encourage your heart and to remind you, remain steadfast in your Christian walk. If there's ever been a time that you and I need to really take some inventory, look at where you've come from, look at where you're at, and ask yourself a question, am I ready? Lesson this morning is going to be taken out of Hebrews chapter 5. We've spent the past few weeks talking about Jesus on the cross. Seven sayings that he had from the cross, and he fulfilled his mission that was set before him. No doubt as they beat him and as he struggled with life itself, the first thing out of his mouth is, Father, forgive them. for they know not what they do. What a Savior. What a God that we serve. A God that's willing to forgive, forget, and overlook the physical pain and suffering that he goes through. So you tell me we can't do it? Well, and as he's hanging on the cross, it's good to know that somebody recognized Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we don't ever recognize him, we need to recognize him as he hung up on that cross. The thief recognized him and he said, "Remember me when you come into thy kingdom." Jesus reminded him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And he was concerned about his mother. And he told his disciple, "Take care of your mother, because he's going on back to where he came from." And then as he hung up on that cross, as he suffered pain and agony, and as his father turned his back upon him, he cried these words, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And as he thirsts for water, they gave him sour wine. Man, that's like pouring salt in the wound, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's deep. Couldn't even get a cool drink of water in dying.
Wow.
He says, "I thirst." And after they gave him the sour wine from a hyssop plant, he dropped his head and said, "It is finished." Yes, life was over for him. And then he gave up his spirit and he said, "Into thy hands I commend thy spirit." Mm. Church, you talk about some sayings. You talk about a struggle on a cross to die for folks that are really unworthy of his death. That's from the pulpit to the back door to the whole entire world. None of us are worthy. But he did that so you and I could have the right to the tree of life. If that don't move you, I cannot help you. If that doesn't move us to try to be all we can be for the Lord. And you thought the army got that. They got that from Jehovah. Somewhere down the line, we have to understand what God really wants. And so as this new year dawns upon us, I want to read some words to encourage your heart. I'm a firm believer that I don't beat myself of what I didn't do yesterday.
Amen.
I take an inventory. I look at the things that I should have done. Look at the things I did. I didn't do everything right, and I try to correct them. And so Paul, the Hebrew writer here in Hebrews chapter 5, would write these words to the believers, reminding the believers that you must continue to move forward. And if we're ever going to make the difference in the world in which we live in, we have to constantly move forward. And guess what? We have to first and foremost move forward in our own households before we can do anything different on this time side of life. Look at what he says. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one to teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of youth, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The Hebrew writer says you ought to be. And so as this new year dawns upon us, you ought to be a teacher. No, you're going to be a teacher. Isn't that the attitude we ought to have?
Yeah.
That's not the lesson.
Amen.
But the lesson comes out of verse number 6. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," what does he say? "Let us go on to perfection." And I don't know about you, it's 2018 dawned upon us. We ought to be the most perfected folk on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Because you've had a whole 365 or 66 days to get it right. Was there a leap year this year? Next year. But 365 days we've had to get it right. And so the Hebrew writer here says, let us move on to perfection. title of the lesson is, Let's Move Together as One. Let's move together as one. How are we going to do that when we all come from a different walk of life? How are we going to do that when all of us have a different mindset? How are we going to move together as one? Well, the only way that's going to happen is we have to develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, in order for us to move together as one, there are some things that we're going to have to do first and foremost. Jesus said, if you desire to follow him, you got to what? Deny yourself and take up your cross. So if we're going to move together as one, we got to deny some of the things that we do in our everyday life. We ought to be the most faithfulest folk on the face of the earth.
Amen.
And what are we? Probably the most fragmented folk on the face of the earth. Ought not to be. Because if we're going to move together as one, church, I'm learning there are some things you have to do. You have to first and foremost surrender your life to the will of the Father. And so as this year draws to a close, and as we look forward to a new year, I want to encourage our hearts and remind us, stay steadfast in your Christian walk. Don't allow Satan or anyone to move you from your steadfastness. And I'm going to show you, there's a couple things that I've learned to do. I've learned to move forward when no one else wants to go.
That's right.
That's right. I got faults just like everybody else. But you know what makes the difference? Is knowing who's in control of my life. You know, and if you don't know who's in control of your life, get flat on your back and you ain't got nothing and you can't do nothing about it. You'll find out real quickly that you don't have any say-so in your life. And so if we don't have any say-so, why don't we just surrender to the one who is able to help us? John reminds us in Revelation chapter 2, as he writes these words of encouragement to the seven churches in Asia Minor, he reminds them to be faithful unto death, and they will receive the crown of life. Let us move forward together as one. Got a couple points. Message is yours. Point number one, in order for us to move forward as one, we got to stay in the book. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't get in the book, you don't have a clue whether or not I'm telling you the truth or not.
Right.
And then you got to know what the Bible says. In John chapter 5 and verse number 39, Jesus says, Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify concerning me. And so the more you stay in the word of God and the more you apply the word of God in your everyday life, guess what? The stronger your faith becomes. That's right. We should not walk around as if we have no hope.
That's right.
We shouldn't walk around miserable. How many of y'all miserable this morning? Don't look at me. Because church, if we really know who is in control, shouldn't that make a difference in our lives? Shouldn't we be joyous and happy and motivated?
Amen.
Amen, Walls. That's all right. You don't have to talk to me. I understand. Mm-hmm. Because see, when you really understand who's in control of life, life has a whole different outlook. My knee was hurting. I'm feeling pretty good right about now. You know why? Because it elevates us. In the next year, if the Lord say the same, we're going to deal with the Spirit of God. I think the reason why most of us act and look the way we do, maybe not y'all.
Right.
It's because you have no spirit. And I'm going to show you that the Spirit of God moves you beyond you. But see, you will never move beyond you until you let the Spirit of God embrace you.
That's right.
We accessed the Spirit when we went in the watery grave. When we came up out of the watery grave, do we allow the Spirit to guide and direct like it's supposed to? Or have we done what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and round about verse number 30? We've quenched the Spirit. You know how we quench the Spirit? Because we get so caught up in this world out here. You know, it's not until you really get flat on your back, I'm finding out that most people really recognize there's a God. You may not recognize him all your life, but when you flat on your back and you have no say-so, you know when that they give you that big, you know what that is? That's a C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they tell you, you got, oh, man. Boy, you want to get holy then, don't you?
Yeah. No, church, I'm learning to get right before those times come. That don't cost you nothing either.
But in order for us to stay on track, church, I'm learning that you must stay with the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and around about verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What keeps me on track is the Word of God. And if you don't believe me, when I mess up, all you have to do is speak the words. And I have to surrender.
Why? Because it's the Word. The psalmist said, I've hid thy word in thy heart that I might not sin against you.
So why do we sin? Because the word ain't hid in our heart. Because when it's hid in our hearts, I don't have to tell you what time it is for church doing. I don't have to tell you what you need to do in your everyday life. No, when the word of God is hid in our heart, it has a different meaning in our everyday life. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in one another. In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in our heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Dwell means residence. It means to come in and stay a while. You know, like some of the neighbors or the friends you get that come in and want to stay a while.
Yeah, that's right.
You know how you hurry up and get them out of it? Is that how we do the Spirit of God? We put him on Sunday morning, and before we can get out of here, we let him out. No, the Spirit needs to dwell in our hearts every day. And when it dwells in us every day, guess what? It'll make you smile, boy. It'll make you appreciate life more.
Amen.
And then you're not going to worry about the status or the state that you're in, because you know who controls everything. And somewhere down the line, when we understand that, the physical man takes a back seat to the spiritual man. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. All scriptures, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That ain't the passage. Thank you, brother. Study to show thy... Well, I want to see if you're with me. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Without proper study, without proper meditation on the word of God, guess what? You will divide the word of God wrongly. You'll think you can come when you feel like it. You think you can do whatever you like and still be, because I've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been baptized, I'm free to do whatever. No, I just stopped by this morning to tell you, no, you can't. Point number two, practice. Practice what you preach.
There's ever been a time we need Christians to practice what they preach. You say you love the Lord.
Why is it so difficult to serve him? You say you love the Lord.
Why is it so difficult to forgive? You say you love the Lord. Why do you look so miserable?
Because see, when you say you love the Lord, shouldn't that bring about a change in our lives?
Yes.
Matter of fact, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where we're going to be looking at for the next few months, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy. Do we know what joy is? Peace. I know some of us in here might be in torment with one another. I'm at peace if he called me right now.
Bye, y'all. Because I'm at peace because I know who's in control. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness.
Yes.
Against such, Paul says, there is no law. Church, I'm learning
that you got to practice what you preach. And I'm learning the only way you're going to know whether or not what you're preaching is what thus saith the Lord, you got to understand what the Word of God is really all about. If there's ever been a time that you and I need to practice what we preach, look at the world in which we live in. It's so easy to tell a lie now, and you know what? We believe lies more than we believe the truth.
I believe
why? And the reason why is because I believe we've lost sight of what's truly important on this time side of life. What's truly important is one day God's going to call you into play. And when he calls you, you know how we cancel appointments. Yeah. You know how we late to appointments. You know how we make all these excuses and ain't nothing wrong with us.
Right.
There's going to be a time when he calls you into play and you're going to stand before his judgment seat. And he said you're going to give an account of everything done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. As the new year dawns upon us, I want to encourage us. Let's continue to practice what we preach. If you're not practicing what you preach, stop preaching. I'll say it again. If you're not practicing what you preach, stop preaching. And you're probably saying, well, that's talking about you. No, I'm glad you said that. No, that ain't talking about just me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, I want to show you that each and every one of us is commanded to go and teach the word of God to everyone we come in contact with. You may not stand in the pulpit and preach. Oh, but you preach. If you're a teacher, you're preaching.
Amen.
If you give instructions on your job, you're preaching. And if you're raising your children, guess what? You're preaching. And if you're talking to your next door neighbor and you don't like him, you're preaching. Oh, yeah. You might not be preaching the right thing, but guess what? You're preaching something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry. Oh, yeah, you're preaching. The ministry of reconciliation. To which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for he made him to be sin for us. Man, I tell you, the more I study the word of God, the more I repent. Because God didn't have to send his son to reconcile us. He died on the cross that you can have the right to the tree of life. The Bible said he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. Final point, point number three. Let's make a difference.
Amen.
Let's make a difference.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing when I go into the inner city. And I talked to some of my colleagues, even talked to my son. The difference that they make in the inner city. Then when I come to the desert, we're laid back, kicked back, and did I say that out loud? Why? Have we forgotten that we make the difference everywhere we go? And so it's 2018 dawn upon us. Let's make the difference collectively. And the way we're going to do that, we're going to walk by the same rules. We're going to mind the same thing. And then we're going to encourage and motivate one another.
Amen.
Church, this might be my last time. That's why I'm telling you all of this. This might be my last message to you. But I want you to know that God is still in control. And I would be derelicting my duty if I didn't tell you what God requires. I want to go into the new year on fire. I want to close out this year on fire.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because I'm still here. I don't know if I'm going to see 2018. I pray that I do. But if I don't, I want to encourage you and I, let's make a difference as this new year dawns upon us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I want to make the difference as this new year dawns upon us. I want to close out this year making the difference, but as he allows us to see 2018, let's really make the difference. Ephesians chapter 5 and round about verse number 1. Listen to these words Paul says. Paul says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear little children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have gave himself for us. An offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. That's some powerful stuff. And I want to encourage us, let's make a difference by ending this year making a difference. Amen. I challenge you that as we leave this morning, that you go out and you touch someone and make a difference in someone's life. It may be the person next door. It may be someone in your own household. But I want to encourage us, let's start making the difference. And it might have to really begin with you.
Amen.
It was Joshua that would say in Joshua chapter 24 and round about verse number 15. Verse 14 says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, make a decision. Oh yeah, everything in life requires a decision, don't it?
Yeah.
If you don't make one, guess what? Somebody will make it for you. Amen. Don't want to go to school? They got people that'll make you go to school. You don't want to do what's right? They got people that'll make you do what's right. You don't want to take care of your family? They got folks to make you take care of your family. And if you beat your wife or you beat your husband, they got folks that'll make you stop doing that too.
Amen.
Amen. You have to make a choice. And I want to encourage you, make a choice that you end this year making the difference in someone's life. Might be a kind word. Might be a kind gesture. Not the gestures that man gives.
No.
But the ones that come from God. I want to encourage us, let's make a difference by ending this year. Encouraging, motivating, and steadfast. And finally, the new year is upon us. Let's forget those things that hindered us this year. But let's keep them in mind as a token not to go back that way. As this new year dawns upon us, let's make the difference. Let's keep in the word. And let's always practice what we preach. I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. Life is short. James says, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then it vanishes away. I don't know about you, when he calls, I want to hear the words, well done. But in order to hear the words, well done, I must remain steadfast, unmovable in my Christian walk. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15 and round about verse number 57. He says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. He says in verse number 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Powerful message. Want to encourage you, if you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.